Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman continues with further discussion of the world's critical ecological issues. For more information, you may call 310-559-9160 or go to www.ecoprojects.org. Now, here's Nancy.
With me is Jeremy Camps. He is a playwright who has authored over 6 plays, including his recent production, Runaway Home, at the Fountain Theater in Hollywood, California. He is an emerging writer fellow at the Public Theater in New York City. He is also playwright in residence at the Esperance Theater Company. He's an educator and a fiction author of short stories, as well as having been a study abroad student in Kenya through the University of Wisconsin and a volunteer with Bright Kids Uganda. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
I have just sat through a moving, powerful production about some families in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. And when I say aftermath, I'm talking about 3 years later, where they're trying to save their homes, which were really demolished, getting no help from the government. I think that with the hurricanes that we're having now, we've forgotten that people are still suffering. Is that your intent, to have us recognize that damage was very severe in New Orleans?
Yeah, well, I started the play 10 years ago that I was writing it, so I know that hurricane season has been wreaking what people call natural disaster on many places for several years now. But I think in recent history, it's not so much natural disaster as unearthing sort of the political structures that are its own created disaster by us. I'm writing about what happened in New Orleans and what's continued to happen, but really it's a story about displacement that I think tells a story of many places, whether it's displacement in neighborhoods, whether it's displacement by deportation, or evictions, or mass incarceration. I think that all of that is were the bigger ideas that led me to this story. The mother-daughter relationship that sees us through this play is really the heart of it.
What I find interesting, though, is that I'm looking at you. You look like a white man, but you live down in an area, and you seem to have captured the language of the poor black people and the Mexican illegal immigrant.
Yeah, for me, the power of art, the joy of art, the purpose of art is empathy, and to be able to go journey beyond what is your perceived comfort zone and journey past what society is telling you is your place in your fixed community and seek out interconnectedness with other communities. When I write, I try to write in a way that just listens and try to understand where my personal experience meets an experience that's different from mine. So that may be whether you're black or of different races, whether you have a documentation and status or you're undocumented, whatever it may be, what is unknown to me or feels unjust is something I want to understand more. And so I journey there by writing.
I think we could all gain an understanding of different communities that we're not part of and the after effects of damage to a whole neighborhood. And what I found interesting was what people may not realize is that a lot of these people who are poor, working class, owned homes. They were destroyed by the flooding. They got very damaged with mold and having everything just demolished practically, but they didn't want the homes torn down and the government was coming in and tearing them down. So they were concerned about protecting the little bit that they had left.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an issue that we don't hear about.
Yeah.
We're very concerned about how people are taken care of in the immediate crisis. And they talked in the play about waving their hands and trying to be rescued. They're on their roof and how difficult it was. We can't always count on the rescuer, can we?
Yeah, and I think that what you hit upon is exactly it. I think this idea of, you know, it's been said that TV is the glue that keeps us apart, that it's like we're connected, we see these things, but it's two-dimensional and disconnects us, and we quickly have amnesia. So I want to write about the human experience of what becomes a buzzword in 24/7 news media and TV. I want to look at the lives that are experiencing the things that sometimes veer into exploitation and sensationalism just because that's good TV. But who are the lives that we're experiencing there? And why are they not the ones who have the voice on the programs, the journalistic coverage that is talking about this? And why, you know, people say, I've heard the term like Katrina fatigue, or a generation ago people say HIV/AIDS fatigue. For who? Who is that fatigue for? Is it for the people who are experiencing it? Like, there's no choice there. So, you know, it's almost like saying they want to watch different news instead of watching the news that is actually what we need to be talking about as a community.
Your play focused on a few key characters, a young teenage daughter, her mother, neighbors, lovers, and you used the hurricane damage, the flooding of their homes, the disaster of their community. And you even had one character trying to organize the community to do something, and how difficult that was. And I think this is constantly going on, that the long issue is, how are the communities going to protect themselves? How are they going to recover from such natural disasters? And as we know, the hurricanes are worse because of humans impacting climate change, even though you didn't even talk about that. Seems like it's a whole nother element that you could do another play on.
Well, I think too, like, when I write, I feel like, to me, compassion is a political act. And I think that the power of this art, dramatic art, which is an experience, is, if I think if we want to talk about politics and our didactic, or it's a message oriented, it can fail because it separates us from it. We watch that, that's bad, go home. But if we see this mother-daughter story, the lives within these politics, that's where we can say, okay, I know this person now. And hopefully that sort of compassion leads to a heightened consciousness, which affects the political decisions we make that are, we don't even know when they're political, but they're happening just by our pure lifestyle choices and who we choose to connect with, who we choose to ignore or turn away from.
You spent about 3 years in Uganda and Kenya working with the people, and there are a lot of poor people there that have very little. Did you make any connections between poor Africans in Africa versus poor people in New Orleans and in Louisiana?
I mean, if you remember the time during 2005 when people from the lower Ninth Ward, which is where I wrote about and beyond, they were calling black and brown people who were fleeing from this horrendous disaster, they were calling them refugees. Refugees in their own country, which I felt was really revealing for the sort of white dominant mainstream narrative that tries to otherize blackness. And so they're calling them refugees instead of displaced people or whatever. There's many other terms you could use. We call them refugees. And the images that were shot, you know, as the play talks about, it's like media really exploits this sort of, and confirms and creates this sort of narrative of blackness as a criminal or victim. And so the connection for your question is being oppressed and exploited in that bigger system, commodifying the human condition of going in for the news media just for what would make a good show, that's a good story that night, but not following through in a meaningful way.
And of course, that's what plays are all about, so that we don't forget the issues and we can learn in an entertaining way what those issues are, because you write short stories and yet not so many people are as inclined to read. They watch movies. Hopefully they'll go to more little theater because it's so powerful to be right there with live actors and actresses getting that message across. You've written for other theater companies, merging writer fellow at the Public Theater in New York City, playwright in residence at Esperance Theater Company. How do you decide what the issues are? Because I saw this as one using the environment as the background, using the aftermath of a hurricane and a community and how they tried to rebuild. You also took the personal story of interrelationships of mother, daughter, boyfriend, girlfriend, and you combine them wonderfully in the play. Do you find that that's the power of plays?
Absolutely, absolutely. Like, it's our connective tissue, right? So, like, some people in the audience tonight haven't been to the Lower Ninth Ward, or weren't there 3 years after Katrina, which is when it takes place. Now, after these 100 minutes of being in this shared room together, in some small way, they were able to go there. In the neurology field, there is, I think, research that shows that if you find out that, like, 50,000 people have been displaced, and you read about that, and that's not connected to your life or your circumstance, you read that, you think, oh, that's too bad, you turn the page. If you hear of two people's story being displaced, same effect as 50,000. But if you hear of one person, if you know of one person's story in depth and in truth, that is actually what compels compassion within the mind, and that actually leads to donor political action or some sort of change of consciousness. And so that's why I feel like so much love this beautiful art form that we have, to be able to connect community in that way.
It certainly helped one connect to what's going on when you could identify with the individuals. But I'm thinking this could be the same story with slightly different dialogue, slightly different accents, to represent the people in the Caribbean. And I found that with Hurricane Irma, it was appalling that the media focused on what was happening in Houston, what was happening in Florida, and yet they were forgetting that 95% of the population in Barbuda was impacted, with their 95% of their buildings destroyed, no infrastructure, no food, no water, nothing. U.S. Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, St. Kitts, St. Martin, all these other islands, we didn't hear about it.
Yeah, and you know, not to mention how buried the flooding in South Asia has been at the same time.
Extremely dangerous, what's going on, and displaced people in Bangladesh and other countries because, as you say, of the flooding going on.
And I think that goes back to your original question of talking about, you know, this idea of displacement. What you see here politically is geographic displacement, displacement of space and place, displacement to the margins. But what you see, so that is the backdrop, like as you say, of what's happening there. But it's the emotional displacement between the mother and the daughter that is the way we experience that.
A little easier to appreciate the impact of a disaster when it comes to the human being, as you have done, because sadly, as much as I care about the environment, it's hard to get other people to worry about an ecosystem, to worry about the plants or the animals that are being destroyed that we are so dependent upon.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, we live in this era of a deluge of information and statistics and facts and alternative facts, or whatever you may call them, but the conversation, if there's a debate to come out of what you experienced in this play, my hope is that is about the truths and lives of the characters in the play, and it's shared. It kind of binds us together. You can't walk out of that play and be like distanced from Kali and Eunice, is my hope. Maybe some people can.
And I enjoyed talking to them afterwards. They came right out to the sidewalk so we could visit and find out more information. Here at the Fountain Theater in Hollywood, California, your play, Runaway Home, and it really had an impact for me to feel how people had to get along with their lives and at the same time deal with the problems that this disaster occurred.
Yeah.
Moldy homes, homes that weren't worth rebuilding, or homes that nobody was giving them the money to fix up. That's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Is it important to have an environmental issue as a backdrop for the relationships between people?
When I start writing, I don't think I'm thinking this is an environmental play. Sometimes I've thought I'm going to write an environmental play, but I get stuck. I think that having that as a first thought, I'm going to write this play, is just a sure sign that you're not going to write that play, for me at least, because you're putting the idea in front of the truth of the characters. I lead from characters. So when my characters, I always consider what's their life, what's their experience. And so to that degree, it's all environmental, right? Does this character drive a SUV or a Prius? Does this character walk to work? Does this character recycle? Like, how is this character impacted by the bigger pieces in this play? It's climate change that we're looking at. And no one's saying at that time in the play explicitly, this hurricane is more severe because of climate change. But looking at this play and looking at time since, whether it's Sandy, Irma, Katrina, Harvey, a number of them, right? Hopefully people are, I have faith in my audience that they can put that together and start to recognize some of that.
We certainly can't disconnect from the environment, and we can't disconnect from how people interrelate to each other and deal with life.
Yeah.
I see a lot of stories. I so much enjoyed watching your play. I want to thank you so very much for writing it. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for taking the time to talk.
I have been speaking with Jeremy Camps, who is a playwright and educator. I'm Nancy Perlman. Thank you very much for joining us, and do tune in again next week.
If you would would like free information about these environmental issues, go to www.ecoprojects.org or call 310-559-9160. Environmental Directions with your host, Nancy Perlman, is a community affairs program of the nonprofit organization Educational Communications and this station.